The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Well, good morning. I feel like I should make a confession this morning. And we had, first of all, a wonderful weekend. Our leaders, our life group leaders, our deacons, we had an opportunity to get together on Friday and Saturday in downtown Greenville. It was wonderful, a time of worship, a time of just continuing to cast some vision and to pray for you. We did. We prayed for each of you. We prayed for our churches, our people. And I wasn't going to do this, but I want you today, if you haven't done this lately, not right this second, because I know where that'll end up. But I want you today to find your life group leader and give them a hug. I do, because I feel like they need that. And now, if you're sick, don't give them a hug. Give them a nod or a wink at them. That's a little weird. Actually, don't even do that. You send them a text. But they love you, and we have a special, special group of leadership here, and I'm so thankful. Thankful for time away. But that's not my confession. My confession is y'all know my heart stuff's been going on, and so I listened to the doctors for a while now, 6 weeks in, and yesterday morning, coffee, oh man, so it was there, and I went to the decaf like I always do, and it just didn't have it. Like, I don't know if their decaf wasn't as good, but I it was calling me. So I went, and I scooted over. I didn't even let Sarah see me do this, and I just put a little bit of the real stuff into my cup, and my life started changing, and I've been missing this, and so next thing you know, I'm going back, and I had another one, and I just feel like I had it yesterday. So for you this morning, I got up this morning, and I've had two cups, and I just felt like I should confess that. Now, here's what I want to say. I've been doing what they told me to do for 6 weeks, and nothing's been happening. So I really did not see the point. And then the Lord just gave me a message. Like, what are the coffees in your life? Like, what are the things that we need to lay before the Lord today and repent before your heart explodes? And I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I really did. So, but I feel good. So who knows where the morning's going to go. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Kyle mentioned this, and I hope you have... I have enjoyed the last several weeks as we have talked about spiritual formation and casting some vision. And I want to read this. We've read this several times, but I want to read it to you again. This is a definition of spiritual formation by author Dallas Willard. And this is what he says. Spiritual formation in the Christian is a process of increasingly being possessed and permeated by the character traits of Jesus. As we walk in the easy yoke of discipleship with Jesus, our teacher, it is being formed, really transformed in such a way that our natural expression comes to be the deeds of Christ done in the power of Christ. It's a great definition, and we talked about this also, but Willard also mentions, and he reminds us, if you're a human, you're being formed by something. We are, and we live in a time where it's many different things. It's stories that you hear. It's the culture around you. It can be family backgrounds. It's habits we live into. But the truth is, I believe that most of those things that we're being formed by that are unintentional, right? Because these things are happening to you just by breathing. Most of those are going to present distorted truths. Maybe lies. And it's tough. But he also talks about this intentional forming that takes place. And this is where we find this word spiritual formation, because we've talked about it from these three aspects over the last several weeks. We start with intimacy, because it starts there. And then we talked about community and beauty of the gift that God's given us, that this intimacy doesn't just take place on our own, but it's together as a church as we grow in that. And then last week, we really started what we're going to talk about today as we talk about mission. If you were with us, we had an Every Child Sunday where we highlighted compassion. And I want to mention that to you right now, because if you were not here and you would like to be a part of that, I want to encourage you. I now have 7 boys, and so I have my 3. And 20 years ago, we adopted a child, and he's grown now. And then this past week, we got 3 more, and it's been beautiful, because this past week I had them on my phone, and I'm already praying for them. The boys have them on that. We put it on the boys' phone so they could pray for them. And so if you would like to be a part, I think we had 130 names taken through the churches. I think we had 19 taken here, or 16, something like that. So if you want to be, please grab me. Kyle's going to be downstairs in the Welcome Center after the service. He can get you hooked up. But that's where we started last week, is we started looking at mission. And but with that being said, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, if you'll read with me. "For this reason, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. Amen." There are many, but there are a few chapters in the Bible that change me significantly, and this is one of them. I love chapter 3 of Ephesians, and there's moments where you just get it. And so, as much as I would like to teach on this for the next 3 hours, I'm not, so we're just going to scratch the surface. We talked about this several weeks ago, but we taught through Ephesians back in the fall of 21, and I've done it over the last couple of weeks, just going back, and if you want to dive a little deeper today, then I would encourage you to do that. But what's beautiful here, there's nothing new under the sun, right? So, and here's what I mean. So Paul is writing a letter to a church that is having some struggles. And some of their struggles are some unity stuff, right? Because they are now one church. It's Jew and Gentile because of Christ. So there's questions there. They are in a society, in a culture that is drastically forming them, much like today. And all the things that they're being formed by are not necessarily healthy things. And they're not things that they can actually control, some of the things. And Paul knows that. And on top of that, their leader is in a Roman jail cell writing the letter, trying to encourage them. So in a sense, and what we see in these first few verses is really Paul reminding them that of their grace story, of his grace story. And then we get to verse 7, and I think he really just zones in on what we've been trying to talk about over the last several weeks. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given to me not by the working of his power, by the working of his power, to me, though I am the very least. Like Paul, I love the fact that Paul never gets over the grace of God. And he calls this mission that he's been called to, it's part of the grace. And look what he says first, because he gives us two things. He says first to preach, to share, to speak to the Gentiles, this gospel. And then second, he says to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God. Now, I cheated a little bit. I looked up something that John Piper had said years back when he was teaching through this verse. And he said, what's interesting here is when you look at this word light, so the second purpose that Paul is calling us to is interesting because it has an objective and a subjective part of it. The objective part is that he has been, the word has been revealed to him to write down, to preach, to teach, part of his mission. But the second part of it is the same word that if you go back, you don't have to do this, but if you go back to chapter 1 and the prayer that we started with, the same word is used as Paul prays for the lightening of their hearts. What Paul is saying here is there is, he's got to have the power of God to do this. I've got to pray. I've got to pray that not only that people that don't know Christ, their lives will be open, but the church, that we would continue to have our eyes open to the gospel. Now, because of time, and because I would just like to keep going, but we have a lot to cover in a short amount of time, I cheated a little bit more, and what I did is I went back to this series that we were in a couple years ago, and one of my favorite theologians, one of your favorite theologians, Kyle Caton, wrote this. I thought I would just change it up so make it in my own words, which was ridiculous because his words are always better than my words. But I'm going to read this, and I want you to listen to this because this is what he's saying in these verses, and it's all about intimacy, and it's all about community, and it defines our mission. So listen to this. The church is the genius of God. It's not a deviation from the plan. It's not an on-the-fly adjustment within God's purpose for his eternal kingdom. It's the heart and mind of God let loose upon the world, and Paul wants us to open our eyes to see what it is. This brilliant creativity of God on full display. And it isn't just for us. Notice what Paul says in verse 10. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. What Paul is saying there was already what he's spoken in chapters 1 and 2 about the fact that Christ has power and authority over those forces that oppose the Lord and his people. The spiritual forces of the enemy that are real, but ultimately nothing compared to the power and the authority of Christ. But those forces are still active in the world. And Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 2, that before we came to faith in Jesus, we were following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is in the work of the sons of disobedience. And there's things that characterize that, right? Bitterness, anger, jealousy, discord, division. Those are the ways of the world. That's what we see in our politics sometimes, and that's what we see in our endless competition to have more than our neighbors, and that's the tendency to label people and to assign them categories in your mind and to assume that we know that they're based on where they live or where they work or what they like. But Paul tells us here, your unity in Christ is a dagger in the heart of the enemy. It's a demonstration to the world of a better way. A way that says my standing before the Lord is based on no merit of my own, but according to the grace of God that I've been freely given in Christ. I can't buy it, I can't earn it, and God loves me no more or no less than anyone else. And the church offers a way that dispels fear and loneliness, because in a world that is great at building fences, we don't live isolated, but live connected to a wonderfully diverse family that knows us and loves us. The church offers a way that points towards eternity and the coming of kingdom, where every people, every tribe and tongue and nation will gather and worship before the King of Kings in perfect union. The church is the genius of God. It's the genius of God on full display, and it isn't easy, and it isn't some vision that is naive of the realities of the fact that the church is made up of people who are saved by grace, but they're saved by grace because they're sinners who need that grace, sinners still trying to shrug off the remnants of their sin in pursuit of Jesus. Conflict will happen. We know that. Changes will come. But if we see ourselves as God has made us to be, we won't treat the church like a pair of pants that we get rid of when they get a big, little bit uncomfortable, a little snug. But as a family that we are, a family that sticks it out, a family that fights for each other, oh, that we would have eyes in the midst of the conditioned busyness of life to see. Because this unity, this genius, and this purpose of God on display in our lives is what the world needs to see right now. That is your mission. Intimacy. Community. Mission. Now here's what's interesting. Because I'm looking at it right now. But for most of us, most of the faces in this room, you can say our mission statement without a blink of the eye, can't you? Why do we exist? We exist so that every man, woman, and child have the repeated what? Opportunities to see, to hear, to respond to the gospel without having to come or go anywhere. And I've said that over and over in my head this week, but what does it mean for us? What does it look like? I heard this definition of the church this week. I thought it was really good. We are an extended spiritual family led by ordinary people who live in everyday community on the mission of Jesus, and a network of relationships where he has sovereignly placed you. But what is the mission? Because here's the deal. Mission reaches down to our deepest understanding of who God is. Right? Why we're here. How we live. It's not something we just volunteer for. It's not something just reserved for paid professionals. That's not what he's saying. It is the sweeping force that runs through everything we are and everything we do. And here's where it starts. It starts with intimacy. It starts that we serve, that we understand, that we serve a God who is what? He's a missionary. Man, we just talked about this in Advent, right? Man, that God would leave his throne, that he would leave his home to go on mission. To redeem a people back to himself. So it's our identity in Jesus that we as children of God are what? We're missionaries. And it starts with intimacy. It does. Right? I read this week from John Calvin. Look what he says. A good missionary has to be a good theologian first. Those people who know God most deeply and satisfyingly will be best at winning hearts in the kingdom, and those most thrilled at the prospect of taking the gospel out into the world are those captured by the beauty and the goodness of the God of the gospel. Unless Christians are carried into mission by genuine enjoyment of the Lord, their mission will not embody the glory of the living God. It starts with intimacy. Happy missions not only rooted in response to God, but into his own nature. And the truest and the highest motivation for mission is God himself. Amen. We couldn't have planned that any better. But here's the deal. I think so many times mission becomes very self-driven, right? It can. Man, we can offer the world the hope of transferred lives. We can offer the world of healed hearts and renewed communities. But just make Jesus the means to that as opposed to the center of that. We're not offering the world ourselves. We're offering the world the Lord. And the truth is, what we truly worship and what we truly cherish, it will be revealed in your mission. You can't hide it. And when Christians enjoy union and communion with the Lord, they're transformed in his likeness, where the Lord is present with his people, his very own light, and his life shines out. And here's the beauty. We don't do it in a vacuum. And we do it together. It gives us community. And if I'm delightfully filled by Christ, then I will happily march out this mission shoulder to shoulder, arms linked with other brothers in Christ, the church. The gospel creates supernatural community through spiritual heart surgery that plays itself out in the world as Christians having a new identity together. So if that mission statement is true for us, every man, woman, and child, this can only become reality when every follower of Jesus understands that their birthright is that of a living missionary and a disciple maker. And we just read it, and what's beautiful about it, it was already written. This was always plan A. It will become reality when we equip and empower everyday believers to move into places where they've been sovereignly placed, and we recognize that there are broken people in these places that don't know Jesus, that need Jesus, and we begin to demonstrate and practice the gospel in every circle that God's placed us. That's our mission. I've been reading in this book, What Fuels the Church, and it's really good. It's a small book. I like small books. This is what he says. He says, in the law, the camp of Israel and their cities were to be made ceremonially clean, and all that was defiled, and all that was defiled had to be rejected, right? So Jesus changed that. He lived it out. Hebrews 13:13 says this, our mission now is to go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Made alive, filled, sanctified in Christ, we do not hide within the camp of the church, but we reach out. And this outward stretching of the church, matching that of the Lord, is the extension of his kingdom and blessing into the world. His light shining and his goodness spreading. Christ's church always moves into the world with a holiness that can bless and purify and give life. I don't read any fiction. To me, it's just a waste of time, but I know some of you do. I'm kidding. It's not a waste of time. It's me. I'm not right sometimes, but I shouldn't even said that. But I read a lot of things that are not fiction, and I don't know, just random stuff. And I read this not too long back, and I thought it was really interesting. There was a sushi restaurant in New York City, like one of the tops in the world, and they were wanting to get their tuna from somewhere in Alaska. And so they came up with this plan to ship these the fish in. And what happened is, in shipping it over, it wasn't the same. Like, it didn't taste the same as it did when they were in Alaska. So they slowly tried to come up with a plan to get it over, and everything they did failed. So first of all, what they did was they froze it and sent it over, and it wasn't really good. And then they decided, we'll put these big tanks, water tanks, on the planes, and we'll just put the fish in it, keep it alive, and then send it over. But even after they did that, what would happen is that they'd get there, and the fish would still be mushy. And who likes mushy sushi, right? So it was just kind of mushy. And then this guy who had been studying this fish forever, he said, well, here's the problem. Like, you want the answer to the problem. You keep your tanks, put the fish in the tanks, but you got to put the fish together in a community. Put them together, and then what I want you to do is, there was a fish that was their enemy. I want you to put that fish in the same tank. And he said, the fish will never catch him. They're too smart for him. But it'll keep them moving. And when they did this, they got there, and guess what was perfect? The sushi was great after that. I thought about that. Man, that's us. It's intimacy. It's knowing him. And it's doing it together. And it's linking arms together in community for the mission of God. So that we exist, so that every man, woman, and child have the repeated opportunities to see and to hear and to respond to the gospel without coming or going anywhere. So what do we do? So what we tried to do over the last several weeks is give you buckets to say, to put different tools in for each one. So one of the ones that we're doing for intimacy is the reading plan that Kyle shared with you just a few minutes ago. And there's some other things that are coming that we're going to keep throwing those in there. Community, we gave some things for. And so what I want to do briefly for just the next few minutes is to give you some practical things that are going to be in these buckets. And one of those things is the My Circle training. So we talked about it a bunch. It's one of the reasons we have these names up here. And somebody asked me a while back, how long are you going to leave those on up there? And I'm like, well, until every one of those people have become followers of Jesus, they're going to stay up there. But this training we did back in April, some of you were part of it. We're going to try to bring it back, even if it's just videos that we're going to watch. But Jim Murphy is the guy kind of behind this, and I've got to spend a good amount of time with him. And it's been great, just kind of... He's a true evangelist and just spending time learning his heart. And so one of the things that we have asked is we're going to make this a part of life group. And the principle for that is to see that the mission advanced through Christ's people. And it is important to develop consistent rhythms in our groups where our focus is on reaching those far from Christ in their lives. So we're going to dive in the Word together, and we're going to spend time in the Word together, but we're going to link arms in mission together. This is one of the tools. So we want to create an environment, and we've talked about this, so that you feel confident in the circles where God's placed you to step into a surface conversation that turns into a serious conversation that turns into a spiritual conversation. The goal is to create a conversation which leads to life transformation and action around helping disciples live out these outcomes. And here they are: to grow and be in faithful witnesses, to be held accountable to live an intentional life of mission, to celebrate God's activity as he's working in us and through them, collaborate with believers in reaching out. And we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate the small steps. It may be that you just got a dinner date with your neighbor that you've been praying for 3 years. We don't even know what's happened yet, but the date's on the calendar. We're going to celebrate that, and we're going to keep each other accountable. And one of the things that we've asked for you is to identify, and I think pretty much everybody has, a leader, we're calling it a catalyst, in each group to be that person, right? We didn't really want the life group leader to do it because that would be extra stuff to add to them, and it doesn't have to be a true evangelist. Just somebody with a heart for mission. someone to model a faithful missional life, someone to facilitate the equipping of Christ's people through various tools and resources that we're going to provide, someone to release Christ's people into the mission. There's a book called Evangelism as Exiles, and this quote has just grabbed me. But what if God's providential hand has put us right where we are with a specific purpose to bring about the salvation of his own? What if? Because he has. The other thing is that we want you to do outside of my circle is we were there last week. We partner with Compassion and so many other places, but we would like for each life group at least once a quarter to go on mission. And we're going to provide avenues for that. Pregnancy Care Center is right down the street. They would love for you to partner with them, to be a part of what they're doing. I'm on the board at Middle Tiger Community Center. It is a wonderful organization that is taking every child and investing into a community. They would love for you to be a part of that. But this is where we're going because it's commanded. But it flows out of intimacy. And then we also want you just to see what God does. And I've asked Justin Blanton, he's actually going to close us out here, to come up and just share some things that has taken place in his life group over the last year. Justin, come on up. And the team's going to come up too, because they're going to we're going to stand and sing in a second. But Justin's the Bowling Springs Life Group has given them some opportunities, and it's been pretty incredible to watch. And he's gonna share a little bit with you.
My dad used to serve in the Opportunity Center, which was a homeless mission downtown Spartanburg, and through doing that, he met a man who does a homeless ministry in Spartanburg, and they do feedings on Tuesday and Thursday at the Goodyear Center beside the. The library downtown, but he has permission from Spartanburg County to on Sundays use Barnett Park to feed the homeless. And the neat thing about the Barnett Park is that's like a church service, so it's not just a feeding. The everybody comes and you got to sit through a worship service and before you get fed. And so when you talk about that, I asked Vicky, or telling her about that. So Vicky and Duck and I went about a year ago just to test it out and see what it was like. And it was really neat, just not just to feed the people, but get to share God's word with them, get to be encouragement for them. So we went and did that and brought that back to our small group, and everybody said, let's go do that. So for about a year now, once a month, we go out on Sundays. Vicky kind of prepares a little menu, and everybody will pick and choose, and we'll sign up for stuff and get to go feed them. One of the neat things, the first time I went out there, got there, and Pastor Wayne, he said, I said, well, thank you for bringing the food. Appreciate it. He said, you bring a word from God, too? And so I got a chance to teach, and so that's kind of a thing that every Sunday when we go, somebody gets to share a testimony or get to speak a word of God, just to know we're providing hope and encouragement for them. And through doing it for a year, there's plenty of the same faces that we've seen over and over, and so to get a chance to sit down and to talk with them, to encourage and to share hope, has really been a blessing. I'll be honest with you that after doing it several times, my flesh rose up and said, are these people ever going to change? I mean, are you just doing this for the sake of doing it? And God told me, he reminded me how many years I'd heard the message and hadn't changed, and how many times he continued to give me hope and opportunity. Speaking about unity, I know I've experienced it, that I think for our small group, not just meeting to look at God's word, but getting to serve together and serve the community, I really experienced a lot of unity. That's been a blessing for me. Just about a week or so ago, my wife Amy was doing her quiet time in the Gospels, and she was reading in Luke 14. And then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." She said when she read that, that the Holy Spirit just kind of said, that's what y'all are doing at Barnett Park. And it was neat just to realize that in being obedient to Christ, getting to prepare for heaven while serving the lost, and just all that's wrapped up into one, and just like, man, that's what love God and love your neighbor really is. Bow your heads, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being on mission since the beginning that we're beneficiaries of. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending your son to be on mission that we're beneficiaries of. Lord, we thank you that your whole life was lived on mission, all the different examples of mission you give us. Father, we thank you for calling us to join you on that mission. We thank you that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which you prepared in advance that we would walk in. Father, thank you for calling us to join you on your mission. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for giving your word to guide us in that mission, your spirit. Father, thank you that we're the blessing of others who have joined your mission. Father, would you guide everybody in here and each individual small group to where you'd like them to join your mission? We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.